Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Secretaries of State and Homeland Security will be in Mexico City today, prodding that nation to do more to stop the flow of migrants.
Mexico's president says the surge of migrants won't ease until the U.S. helps countries they are fleeing with more development aid, saying better economies will give those migrants incentives to stay where they are. The Mexican president will also encourage Secretary of State Blinken and Homeland Security head Mayorkas to also ease sanctions on Cuba and Venezuela. The U.S. wants Mexico to do more to stop those migrants well before they reach the U.S. border.
ABC's Andy Field. The government's national average price for regular gasoline shot up 6 cents in the past week to almost $3.12 a gallon, the average driven higher by very large increases in the lower Atlantic and along the Gulf Coast. A federal judge in Montgomery, Alabama, declined to pause a lawsuit challenging the state's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks play the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight in New York. The Bucks coming off a 129-122 loss to the Knicks Christmas Day. How do you rebound? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Again, prepare them. Be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy. But if you do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
College football. The Wisconsin Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl next Monday morning against LSU. Kickoff 11 a.m. Luke Fickell has hired one of his former players, Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback for him at Ohio State, to serve as receivers coach.
Learned a lot. You know, played quarterback. And so playing quarterback on that level, you learn so much. And so I got a chance to play for some legendary coaches with Jim Tressel for 2 years. I had Luke Fickell, who's doing an awesome job now. I had Urban Meyer for the last two. So when you have those names around you, those greatness around you, and every day a learning experience.
That's the Badgers' new receivers coach, Kenny Guyton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered snow showers, especially this morning. And then I think we may see a little bit of clearing here by later this afternoon. Our high today, 36. The wind southwest becoming northwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, sun in the afternoon with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
70 AM, The Zone. You could go to Chicago to hear about the Board of Trade, but isn't it easier to listen to Pam Jahnke? This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You know, it doesn't look like the weather is going to give us much to complain about again today. Morning, everybody. Welcome in. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke. Glad to see the weather coming our way that we've got for Wednesday. Today's daytime high is expected to be right around 40 degrees. The hard part is we just aren't seeing much for sunshine at this time of the year. Overnight lows tonight down to around 31. Then tomorrow, a possibility of a rain-snow mix. Good 50% chance of precipitation in the forecast Thursday. 39 are expected high. Friday back to cloudy skies and 40 degrees. And then into the weekend, temperatures start to cool down. Of course, Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, has the weather details you're looking for. He's up in about 15 minutes. Also this morning, we are going to find out about the big celebration that the Association of Women in Agriculture on the UW-Madison campus have enjoyed in 2023. Celebrating some milestones. Stephanie Hoff caught up with some of the founders of AWA, and she's going to share that story with us as well. Plus, we'll catch up with Randy Kaff from the Steffes Group on a Wednesday.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rain, sleet, snow, mud, and ice can be a mess. It's not easy taking care of animals outside in the cold, especially here in Wisconsin during winter. Some horses do well on their own with a little extra hair, food, or shelter, while others may not. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Dr. Howard Ketover, veterinarian at Iron Gate Equine Clinic, says there's several things to take into consideration when it comes to caring for your horses in the winter, even giving them toys so they don't get bored.
One of the most important things that we need to do is start with that holistic approach and look at everything we do in the management side of things. Oftentimes, we actually run into more problems earlier on in the winter when people don't remember to put heaters into their waters, to offer a better temperature water, I think is the most common time we'll start to see problems. So I think once we get into the deeper part of winter, a lot of people are prepared and ready to manage their horses pretty effectively. Big thing is having some sort of water access to clean, fresh, warmed water. Most horses are going to drink best when that water temperature is between 85 and 65 degrees. So as long as we have some sort of heated source of water for them, really critical and important. We know water consumption goes down dramatically, and we can run into some of those other medical problems when we miss that. The next thing is providing enough access to hay, forage for them. Sometimes people say, oh, it's cold out, I'm going to add more grain. In reality, what we want to do is add more hay, because the horse is eating that hay, the microbes in the horse's gut will actually digest that forage and make heat from fermentation, and that's the best way to keep them warm. So having constant access to a good quality forage, access to water, and then trying to create some way to get them out of the weather. Giving them a windbreak, getting them into a barn, getting them into a three-sided shed, doing something for them to be able to get out of those elements and stay dry. And then the last thing is probably thinking about the footing. You know, lately in Wisconsin, we've had less good snow and we've had a lot more freezing rain and ice problems. And we've been seeing more and more issues with horses having trouble with the footing that they're out on. Unable to stand up, getting down, problems like that, where we sometimes then have to come in and provide more technical support in lifting or moving a down horse just because the footing's not very good.
How does cold weather impact a horse's hoof care routine? Are there any additional measures that owners should take or be aware of?
We definitely see up here in the upper Midwest that it seems like the hoof grows slower in the wintertime. So maybe we can stretch out some of that shoeing or trimming interval. But I think it's important to still stick with that. And then I also think I see a lot of times we'll see people say, well, I'm going to go ahead and take my horse out of shoes in the winter and let the foot rest. I think that's an important thing to be thinking about. But also, we don't want to take those horses out of shoes just as the ground freezes, because they're going to be pretty painful and going to be pretty sore. So making sure your farrier knows that that's going to happen and understand that they're going to make that transition so they can can plan accordingly with you. I think the other thing we need to be thinking about is, especially as we get later into our year and we start to see some more of that intermittent snowing, we'll see some more problems with snowball production, where that snow will just build up in the bottom of the shoe or the bottom of the foot and can make it more like a round ball. So understanding that that can happen, again, with our farriers, they can come in and manage that with different types of snow pads to help pop that snow out of there and keep that from happening to the shod horse. And then there's lots of techniques out there for unshod horses, sometimes just getting them off that ground and shipping that out. I've seen some people use different cooking sprays or other things to sort of lubricate the bottom of the foot and keep it from happening quite as much. But just understanding that that can happen and paying attention and being able to get out there and get that snowball out of there before we run into a musculoskeletal problem, a joint issue or something like that, a little higher up in the limb sometimes if they're running around with those in there. They will fix themselves, pop out, but you know, sometimes we can come in and help that out as well.
Do the nutrient requirements change, or how should they change? You mentioned having more hay, but what are some of your tips maybe to adjust the feed at all during the winter months?
The big thing is that quality forage. We really need to make sure they have access. Most horses are going to be somewhere between 1.5% and 2.5% body weight. So if we figure an average horse is about 1,000 pounds, we would want to make sure that they have somewhere between 15 and 25 pounds of hay available to them throughout the day. We don't want it all at once. We know horses do much better having many small meals than one large one or two large ones. So if we can spread that out, the health of the horse, the health of the GI tract of the horse is going to be a whole lot better for us. Beyond that, again, that clean, fresh water is important to us. It's not uncommon that we'll see people add in some grain as just another source of energy or a fat source. Sometimes we'll use something like a rice bran or an oil or some other products out there that are commercially available. And then we'll see a lot of people add in just salt. And you can use table salt or an agricultural salt, sometimes an ounce a day, just to help drive those thirst centers and make sure they're drinking. Beyond that, nutritionally speaking, there really isn't a whole lot different. And I think more commonly not, we probably have more trouble with our horses and sometimes our clients maybe overfeeding. And we sometimes end up with horses coming out of the winter being a little heavier than we'd like them to and getting into the spring and then running into problems there. So managing them accordingly and not overfeeding is important too.
It's really important to keep horses entertained and exercise. But if I don't have an indoor arena to be able to use during the winter, what are some other ways I can keep my horse entertained so it doesn't get bored?
The boredom side of things can become a problem for us in that sometimes we'll start to see some destructive behaviors and just sometimes some mischief just because they are bored and getting into things that they wouldn't otherwise get into, testing the fences, testing the gates and things like that. So I think it is important to go ahead and provide those things, not just during the winter, but year round even for them. And the nice thing, again, most horses are going to eat about 18 hours a day. So if we can give them small, frequent meals, great. We'll just go ahead and entertain them with food. There are different commercially available products out there that you can do feeding treats and other things, or feeding products inside of them is one way. Some people will come in and use slow feeder nets or slow feeding devices. So it just forces the horse to focus on that nutrition longer throughout the day and gives them not only for the GI health, but also for some of that mental stimulation. We'll see a lot of people use the jolly ball, just sort of a ball or something for the animal to play with while they're in their area and move around. Some horses love them and will kick them around and use them and throw them around with their mouth, and others never touch it. So just understanding your horse and seeing what they need to do. And then certainly as much exercise as we can get and getting out and doing things, and even just spending time with them. Go out and groom, go out and spend time with your horse. Even though it's miserable and it's cold, they'll enjoy it. It's good for us as well.
What are some of the common health issues or ailments that horses can face during the winter? Colic poses a larger risk in the winter especially, but what else should they be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. Mention that colic, and it's really being driven by the decreased water consumption that leads to more of an impaction or dried out feces in the horse for us. So maintaining that's probably the first and foremost. Another common one that we're going to see is going back to that footing. Our aged population of horses, we're seeing more and more of our horses getting to later stages in their life and potentially having some more arthritic or musculoskeletal problems that doesn't allow them to get up and down quite as easily. So going back to that quality footing, and hopefully we can avoid some of those technical rescue type of situations where we need to move horses. The next one that we're going to try to probably see most commonly is going to be respiratory. And not because it's cold outside, it's because we as people are making choices that maybe aren't as good for them. We'll lock them into the barn, we'll go ahead, and maybe this year or last year we didn't get as quite a quality hay, so there's more dust or potentially some mold in that hay that is going to cause some respiratory issues for them. So that access to good ventilation, quality ventilation, making sure we're keeping the stalls, if we are using stalls or a barn, keeping it clean and dry, and not running into some of those other ear t- irritants that we can get out there. There's always the risks that we have from just transporting horses and moving horses around, some of our viruses and bacterial problems, but that really doesn't go up significantly in the wintertime, other than, again, if we're keeping horses locked into a barn and not allowing them to get out and have some of that fresh air. If our ventilation quality is poor, that can come into play, but that's really not a change.
Do you suggest that they put blankets on them during the winter? I know some horse owners do, some horse owners don't. What tips or tricks do you have with that, or other things that maybe they should be doing to help kind of get these horses through the winter?
Blanking is, you know, is one of those that if you had 10 veterinarians, you'd have 15 opinions about it. And if we had horse owners here, we'd have even more. It's one of those things that's very personal to people, and there's really not a right answer for every situation. I think we tend to lead to a blanket a little sooner than we need to. And certainly if we start blanketing, we tend to need to stay with that through the winter and manage accordingly. There certainly are horses that either have underlying medical problems or maybe some training situations where we really do need to manage them with blankets because we just can't regulate their temperatures as well as we'd like to. But I think for the vast majority of our horses out here, I think blanketing is probably more of a human need than a horse need, and not a wrong thing to do, but we'd probably over blanket a little more than we need to.
Are there any new diseases or illnesses that horse owners should be aware of that maybe you've been seeing some cases start to rise that haven't in the past, or anything that they should be keeping an eye on throughout the winter to watch for?
In relation to winter, new diseases, no. There isn't anything that's groundbreaking out there or that we really need to be paying attention to. There are the same problems that we've had around and will continue to be around for us. Strangles or Streptococcus equi, subspecies equi, is one of those communicable bacterial diseases for horses that is a problem. We have seen more and more of it in this region over the last 3 years or so. The numbers have significantly increased, but it's not a new problem. It's just certainly something we'd want to be paying attention to as we're bringing new horses into facilities, making sure we're quarantining and managing accordingly. And then influenza and rhino, again, are the common viruses out there. As far as other environmental diseases that can be there for us, things that we can see, probably the most common one is going to be anaplasmosis, and that is a seasonal from a tick-borne vector that'll pass that on to horses as a bacteria. And that one is fairly easily managed, but one of the things I would definitely say is if you notice something wrong with your horse, go ahead and do that physical exam. Go ahead and do some things with them. Take their temperature. Talk to your veterinarian about how to do a pulse and a respiration and a temperature on your horse. You know your horse better than we ever will. So if you recognize a problem earlier, it's a lot easier to intervene early and get somebody involved than saying, you know, they're just not right today. We'll check them tomorrow or maybe the next day. And then we're farther down the hole by then, and it's a lot harder to get ahead of it.
That was Dr. Howard Kettover, veterinarian at Iron Gate Equine Clinic. He added that just like it's important that we take extra steps to stay warm and healthy in the winter, it's important to do the same with your horses. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you are her friend. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, today doesn't look like it's going to cause us much problems as far as weather is concerned, but things are changing. Time for a Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist joining us. I'll tell you what, I'm still super happy that we're not dealing with much as far as precipitation's concerned, especially the stuff that's going to stick around. But it looks like that's changing, huh, Stu?
There'll be no real drastic changes, Pam. I do expect we have to talk of a little rain, maybe some snow. There could even be a little ice as we head to early Thursday. But beyond that, temperatures stay fairly mild, not quite as warm as they were. We aren't going to set any more records for a while, but we are going to be staying on the above normal side. And in most cases, close to 10 degrees above normal, if not even a bit more, as we make our way on right into the weekend, cooling gradually for the new year, falling back into the lower 30s, still above normal, but only by a couple of degrees. Let's look at our weather map today and talk, of course, about the big system still kind of cruising out to our southwest. The stationary front that's pushed up north of Wisconsin should allow for some sunshine and a fairly quiet day today, but there will be some precipitation chances. That system circles right to our south late tonight and then into the day Thursday. Some light rain developing, maybe a little freezing light rain or freezing mist, if you will, early Thursday morning. You know, car windshields, sidewalks, things like that could be a little slick. We'll have to watch out for Thursday morning. Further to the northwest, from Boston, La Crosse, and north, there may be a little light snow. It's not going to accumulate to any measure, but a little bit of some light snow could be seen. And otherwise, that precipitation will eventually end, drying up. The better news is, by Friday, some sunshine returns. That sunshine around then right into the weekend. But those temperatures then slowly began to drop off right through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on toward Monday, down to around freezing, still a little above normal for New Year's Day, but still above normal nonetheless, even though a lot cooler than it's been around here as of late. So I guess that is some change, Pam, but we are going to talk about the cooler air as being the biggest change around here as we head on toward the new year. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Wow, 2023 has been quite the year for Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Judy, Lisa, Scott, and the crew at Bavaria Sausage. All those smiling faces you see behind the counter when you walk in the door at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 5, of course, observing the holidays. Always available online at BavariaSausage.com. Or if you're looking for something special, hey, that's what they're all about. When it comes to authentic flavors, give them a call. 800-733-6695. That's 800-733-6695. All the folks at Bavaria Sausage sincerely want to thank you for your business in 2023 and encourage you to check back often for all the new products that are coming online in 2024. From everyone at Bavaria Sausage Kitchen, happy holidays. And here's to a brand new year.
Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for more of a partly sunny sky today. More sun in the east, more clouds in the west, and especially northwest. A lot of very upper 30s or near 40 degrees as winds will become northeast today, only about 5. But then that front begins to edge in with that low off to the south, mostly cloudy. Late tonight, some very light rain late in the night. Maybe a little freezing rain toward daybreak, a few snowflakes in the west. Temps drop down to around 30 or into the upper 20s, and the north winds will be around 5 to 10. Cloudy skies Thursday, still some rain. Like I say, that snow or that freezing mist early in the morning, and temps again close to 40. The north winds around 5 to 15. That should all end Thursday night. By Friday, mostly sunny. Again, very upper 30s or almost 40. The north wind about 5 to 10. I'll look ahead a little bit. Saturday, upper 30s. Sunday, lower 30s. And even by Monday, New Year's Day, about freezing 32 or so. But plenty of sunshine around as we head right on toward New Year's Day. Should be a nice, bright way to start the new year, Pan. Just a little on the cool cooler side, well, cooler than we've seen in all reality. We're just going to get back to those more normal temperatures now as we head toward the new year. I don't see that big snowstorm, that big winter maker coming up. You know how it is. Sooner than later, we are going to be talking about some big snows to get winter underway.
Good enough. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday. Compure Financial is your partner when it comes to agriculture lending and rural lifestyle lending as well. Find resources, details, and an office near you online. Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Secretaries of State and Homeland Security will be in Mexico City today, prodding that nation to do more to stop the flow of migrants.
Mexico's president says the surge of migrants won't ease until the U.S. helps countries they are fleeing with more development aid, saying better economies will give those migrants incentives to stay where they are. The Mexican president will also encourage Secretary of State Blinken and Homeland Security head Mayorkas to also ease sanctions on Cuba and Venezuela. The U.S. wants Mexico to do more to stop those migrants well before they reach the U.S. border.
ABC's Andy Field. The government's national average price for regular gasoline shot up 6 cents in the past week to almost $3.12 a gallon, the average driven higher by very large increases in the lower Atlantic and along the Gulf Coast. A federal judge in Montgomery, Alabama, declined to pause a lawsuit challenging the state's ban on gender-affirming care for minors. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks play the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight in New York. The Bucks coming off a 129-122 loss to the Knicks Christmas Day. How do you rebound? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Again, prepare them, be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy, but if you do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl next Monday morning against LSU, kickoff 11 a.m. Luke Fickell has hired one of his former players, Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback for him at Ohio State, to serve as receivers coach.
Learned a lot, you know, played quarterback, and so playing quarterback on that level, you learn so much, and so I got a chance to play for some legendary coaches with Jim Tressel for 2 years. I had Luke Fickell, who's doing an awesome job now. I had Urban Meyer for the last two. So when you have those names around you, those greatness around you, and every day a learning experience.
That's the Badgers' new receivers coach, Kenny Guyton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say
it. It is going to be cloudy today with scattered snow showers, especially this morning. And then I think we may see a little bit of clearing here by later this afternoon. Our high today, 36. The wind southwest becoming northwesterly at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 30. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning, sunny in the afternoon with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion into your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
The only thing they don't have in L.A. is common sense.
Farm goddess, agricultural princess, queen of all that moves. Nah, let's stick with farm babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Daytime highs today, not much better than 40 degrees. Not much in the way of sunshine on the way. Tomorrow, that rain-snow mix in the forecast, 39 Friday. Back to partly cloudy skies, 40 degrees, and then into the 30s when we hit the weekend. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke along with you on this, the 27th day of December. What can I tell you? On this day, back in 1947, the very first Howdy Do show actually was telecast on NBC. On this day in 1932, Radio City Music Hall, downtown New York City, finally opened to the general public. It was designed by Edward Durrell Stone and Donald Deskey. Radio City Music Hall at Rockefeller Center opened on this day in 1932. On this day in 1981, Wayne Gretzky became the fastest NHLer to get 100 points in a season. It was his 38th game, made four goals and an assist in a 10-3 win over visiting Los Angeles Kings. Gretzky, the great, becomes the fastest NHLer to 100 points on this day back in 1981. On this day in 1845, anesthesia used for the very first time during childbirth. An American physician, Dr. Crawford Long, gave the ether to his wife during the birth of their second child. They say that one event revolutionized the use of anesthesia in medicine and surgery. On this day, back in 1845. And now you know. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Steffesgroup.com. That is the website that you want to constantly be checking back with, especially as we get towards the end of the calendar year. Final details, decisions to be made, and they can help connect you. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath back along with us from the Steffes Group. And I want to talk about something that we don't speak a lot about these days, Randy, but you guys focus a lot of attention on it, kind of especially through this part of the year. And that's quality-tested hay auctions. You know, there was a time when almost every county in Wisconsin had one of those. They've gotten to be thinner and thinner, but you guys still focus a lot of attention on that, don't you?
Absolutely. It's been a staple for us going on 17 years now. We've, you know, morphed over time. We started out as a live auction, and everything had to come to our yard and come in on semis, go out on semis. We've gone to the online-only format here in the last couple of years with incredible success. It's really opened up a lot of windows. You know, it seems like every year there's a drought somewhere. Hopefully not hitting us again next year, but it just seems like every year somebody is short on moisture and resultingly short on hay and forage. And the online program has really opened up the opportunity for those folks to partake in our auction. And of course, we provide the trucking and get the hay or straw or corn stalks, whatever they're looking for. We get it to them in a timely fashion. It's been with us a long time. It's been a staple for us and hopefully continue to be so.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, what are you seeing as far as that market is concerned, Randy? You mentioned the supply situation. It's always fluctuating region by region. How's the price been doing?
Price has been gaining some momentum here in the last couple of sales, last few weeks. We had such a nice fall that in my opinion, guys were really, really concentrating on getting the crops in, getting the ground turned black, and, you know, not necessarily paying attention to the hay market. And as soon as things wrapped up, boy, the market absolutely took on some heat. So we jumped literally $40 a ton across the board in about a 2-week stretch here in early November. And I think it just simply comes down to the fact that guys actually had time to deal with it. And, you know, once their fall crop was in, they at that point knew what they were going to need for next year's supply. So it got pretty active. Along with that, our growers, of course, a lot of them are multi-crop growers. And instead of shutting down the combine and the hopper to haul a load of hay, they decided they better get their beans and corn in and concentrate on the hay once the harvest is done. So we've seen volume pick up along with price here in the last month. And, you know, dairy hay always follows the dairy market. And, of course, the dairy market is nothing to brag about right now, but the dairy hay market has been hanging in there pretty good. We've seen highs as high as $250 a ton on good quality squares of alfalfa. I would say the majority of that hay is going to fall in that 200 to 220 a ton, depending if you're looking at rounds or squares. The wheat straw market has been very, very strong from a seller point of view. It looks like supply is going to be tight on the wheat straw side. I think the drought affected that a little bit, and then along with the simple onset that corn and beans are seem to be a more valuable crop to grow, even in the valley where most of our wheat straw comes from. Just less acres of wheat harvested and wheat planted puts a little pressure on that wheat straw market.
Yeah. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group. Now, you mentioned the flexibility that this online platform allows you, Randy. So explain for people that may have never ventured to the steffesgroup.com website how they can work with you guys on those hay auctions.
Absolutely. So we try to be as detailed as possible. We have Dairyland Labs out of St. Cloud, Minnesota, also Arcadia. They come right to our facility. We pull the samples for them. They test them right on site. We've got a lab right on site built at our facility. So they send a tech down to run the samples. So we have a full printout right on each lot. So every lot of hay that comes into our yard does get tested. That way people know truly what they're getting. We do a nice job of detailing descriptions and pictures. You know, it's still hay, so we're not going to tell you that you can't get a bad bale here and there, but we do our best to try to make sure you know exactly what you're getting. So if it's bought online, delivered on one of our trucks, and you don't see it until it shows up in your yard, there's no surprises, right? Mm-hmm. So we try to make sure that we're identifying the load exactly how they are, both from a test point of view, a picture point of view, and an information standpoint. We don't like those surprises afterwards of not getting what you thought you were getting. So it's all about, you know, trying to be full disclosure and letting you know exactly what's in that load, where it came from, what it tests, what it looks like, touch, feel, smell, all those kind of good things that obviously the cow is interested in and we're interested in as well.
Randy Kath along with us again talking about their quality tested hay auctions. You can find it all, folks, online, steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com. Or if you'd like to talk to them, maybe you need somebody to walk you through the process a little bit, or maybe you're thinking about an auction of your own. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group.
Innovation. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at bio-vet.com. Innovation.
There was some signs of life in our dairy complex yesterday in Chicago. The barrel cheese finished up 3.25 cents at 142.5. 40-pound block cheese was still unchanged at 139. Double A butter on Tuesday up 0.25 cents to 254.25. As far as fluid milk contracts were concerned, January was up 12 cents at 1555 a hundredweight. February class 3 was up 13 at 1573. The March corn contract gained 7.25, closed at 480. and a quarter. December new crop corn was up a nickel at 509 and a half. January soybeans gained 13 and a half, back up to 13.13 and a quarter. November new crop beans were up 7 and a quarter, 12.65 and a quarter. July wheat had a big day, up 18 and a quarter cents to 6.53 a bushel as we get started on a Wednesday. Hey, the folks with the Wisconsin FFA Alumni Convention want to remind you December 31st is your last opportunity to get registered for the big convention coming up February 2nd and 3rd. That's going to be at the KI Convention Center, downtown Green Bay. You want to go register, find out details, go to wisconsinaged.org, wisconsinaged.org. I see that they've got an optional tour to Green Bay Southwest Ag Department on Friday, February 2nd, and then also another tour of Lambeau Field. A couple different options that you might want to take advantage of, but again, the registration deadline is December 31st, so critical that you get to wisconsinaged.org and get signed up today. It's always a good time to get together with other FFA alumni members from across the state. Up next, another association that's celebrating a milestone, Association of Women in Agriculture. There's a tenacious bunch on the UW-Madison campus that made it all happen, what, almost 50 years ago now. Up next, Stephanie Hoff sharing those details.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Celebration Center.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
What you heard is a tape recording of the Association of Women in Agriculture's first barbershop quartet rehearsing for the winter ball competition at UW-Madison 50 years ago. They called themselves Tootsie Rose, the first female group, and they won first place, much to the dismay of the male fraternities on campus. This is according to founding member Phyllis Gerner Agnew, class of 1976. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report and a proud alumna of the Association of Women in Agriculture, known as AWA. The association is celebrating 50 years of developing women leaders in agriculture and beyond. And no one knows this better than its 10 founding members. Two of them join us in studio today. Patty Pruse-Teckert, class of 77, and Phyllis Agnew, both hail from Jefferson County. Phyllis says life on campus was a lot different back then.
Yes, it was very different. Luckily, I knew a lot of girls through 4-H.
that were already in school, that were older than me, girls that really made an impact, you know, on the school. But as we looked around, you know, socially, there were fraternities, but there was no ag sorority. Sue North was very influential for me. She worked, had a job as an animal caretaker. One night, we were having an executive session after Badger Dairy Club, and we were just hashing out the fact that, gosh, our roommates hated the smell of, when we'd come back from doing our animal caretaking. I cleaned chicken cages at the old vet science. There was no veterinary science program. I took care of mice in the old dairy barn, which had dairy goats. And we said, wouldn't it be great if we could all live together? And we were all like-minded girls from the same kind of background. And things kind of snowballed from there. We would meet in the basement of Egg Hall. Rick DeLuge was so supportive of our quest. We had no social media, so we made paper posters and said, hey, you know, if you're in the egg school, would you like to join a club, be together with other women, you know, and share ideas? So that's kind of how we started.
Patty, is that how you got involved as well?
I came in kind of on the coattails. That organization started before I did. Came to campus the end of fall of 73, but I was in on the club meetings when they started out.
Why did you decide to join, or wasn't AWA at first, was it?
No. Ag Women's Co-op, right?
Yes.
It was the social thing, being with people with common interests, women with common interests. That's probably what attracted me, being on Ag campus. So
it was Ag Women's Cooperative, but that didn't last too long. When did the name change to Association of Women in Agriculture?
Well, I think in like the spring of 74, you know, it came to mind that the name co-op was actually a legal term, and that was, we couldn't use that anymore. But, you know, I think all of us, we looked at the ag fraternities with a kind of, you know, jealousy. It's like, man, they could live together. They had study groups. I mean, when you come to college, it's different than high school. They had test files, and they had a lot of, you know, just give and take that they could take from each other, things that we wanted. So it was more than just the social, you know, it was the educational. It was the professional, you know, do we have people we can, you know, contacts here, there, that we could, you know, get a job from or get a summer job, or internships were just kind of taking off at that time. So I think, like, in 74, we had a terrific class. Patty's class was loaded with great, outstanding women that came about, and that's how it continued to evolve then in that way.
Do either of you remember how much you had to pay for dues?
No, I cannot recall.
I don't even know if we had dues.
I don't think so.
But you all did get to live in a house together, right?
A dozen of us found a house on Prospect Street, 308 North Prospect Avenue. It was two floors, six gals on each floor. So, yes, we were all ag majors there. And
Kathy Waite Brown is the one who really organized us together.
Yeah.
They helped do the, you know, the fundraiser, like writing the letters, and they got like $300 from students. There were really no alumni at that point yet, and that's how they bought the freezer, the whole story.
Your main asset.
Yeah, the freezer that became our collateral for our first loan.
So then did it become easier to recruit more women into the organization? How did numbers look when you got going?
There were events on campus that attracted students. You know, at that time we had the Little International. The Little Eye was like a premier horse show in the Midwest. You know, there were no horse shows that were really going on at the Coliseum yet. So there were different groups, you know, AGR and DTS and Babcock House. They all had roles in the organizing of events like Little Eye and the Midwinter Ball and the scholarship trophies. So those are events that we wanted to be part of. and met with a lot of resistance at first because we didn't have a living unit. So that in having a house, that gave us a living unit that we could build upon. And we had representatives on Ag Student Council or Badger Dairy Club. I mean, Patty, weren't you one of the chairmen for Little Eye?
On the publicity side. Well, we did the program.
So now we could have a picture in this program, in this big event, and it would say Patty Proust, representing AWA, Association of Women in Agriculture. And so that's the kind of thing, publicity, that we needed, to say to other women, hey, I want to be part of that group, and it sounds like it'd be awesome, and it was.
And 20 years ago, AWA built a new house on University Avenue. 24 young women live there today, and they carry on a lot of the same traditions of networking and professional growth that started 50 years ago on the UW-Madison campus. Phyllis Gerner-Agnew and Patty Proust-Heckert joining us in studio. They are two of the 10 founding members of the Association of Women in Agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Global crop yields are not keeping pace with expectations. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. The world's farmers are tasked with increased production goals in the decades ahead to meet anticipated demand. But one risk manager says crop yields are a concern. Dan Bossi heads the risk management and advisory service, Ag Resource Company.
Since 1973 up until about 2017, global per capita grain yields were rising. What's happened in the last 6 years? Why are we plateauing? Well, it took us about 3 or 4 years at Ag Resource to understand why we're plateauing, but it seems to be related to climate and variable weather patterns.
Bossi says more land has to be placed in production.
I need more acres. Where do those acres come from? Principally today, the United States is maxed out. The Europeans are maxed out. There's a war in the Black Sea, so it's got to come from Latin America. But if I don't get global grain yields rising, I need about 23 to 24 million extra acres to come online in the next 5 years.
Bossi acknowledges that model is not really sustainable.
The modeling shows somewhere between 2060 and 2065, the world runs out of what we call arable farmland. We reach peak world farmland. That's a scary day.
Bossi returns tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. The Israeli military expanding its ground offensive in the Gaza Strip to urban refugees.